I left Cheyenne without my luggage and in company with a wild Irishman and his even wilder cargo of freight. Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just a moment, we will bring you the latest report from the Frontier Gentleman. Whether your marriage license is brand new or your wedding ring is worn thin over the years, you'll get a kick out of every lighthearted episode of CBS Radio's The Couple Next Door. Written by Peg Lynch, creator of Ethel and Albert, The Couple Next Door is a warm and humorous series about a young married couple. Just for the fun of it, join us on most of these same stations 5 days a week as Peg Lynch and Alan Bunn star as CBS Radio's The Couple Next Door. Now starring John Daner, this is the story of J.D. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman. Wyoming Territory had been good to me. And when I decided to leave, I informed the people at my hotel, packed my little bag of belongings, and dropped by Carrie Chase's office to thank him for his kindnesses. From there, I went to the stage station and made arrangements for my departure. Having several hours' wait, I took a last turn around the town. I thought I had visited all of the saloons in search of people and stories from my column in the London Times. I was wrong. I had missed Dan's Bloody Bucket. A scant 4 blocks from the center of town. I shall never forget Dan, nor his bloody bucket.
Your bucket's made dirty for you. All right, then.
The man shouting was small, wearing a derby hat pulled low over shaggy eyebrows. He was holding a gigantic cat in his left arm, while with his right hand he was cutting a length of chain from beneath the folds of a swallow-tailed coat. He was facing a great brute of a man. He was raising a broken whiskey bottle at him. Behind him, out of sight, another man was approaching with pistol butt raised. The odds against the little man were more than I could stand. Look out behind you!
Oh, David, I think that I... Oh, no, you don't, Blighter.
Hey, you want to get in this, stranger?
The troops have arrived, you shilly-shanny buddy buck.
The man seems to need a friend.
You better move on, or what's going to happen to him will happen to you.
Oh, give her the time to see. She jumped out of the arms. Never say.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have done that.
You know, grab his snake, grab his stranger.
I'll get him. Oh, get him right now. Oh, you better take your brother. Now grab the cat. I'll swing me chain over these two. Grab her!
What?
The princess, the cat grabber lad.
Who? What?
She's going by, Trevor.
Oh, yes. You go, princess. She's not friendly. All right. Here now, be that princess.
Run now and make friends.
Stop it. I've got her.
Now let's get out of here. They're beginning to come around.
Run. Where do you run?
Out the door to the wagon. They won't never come near me, Jerry. Now watch the cat. Don't let him get away. Now run. It's big up. Now the cat. Hurry.
There you go, lovey.
Hey, come on, you higher or not, Jerry. Hey.
It's Dan. She shoots it.
It's never again you'll see me down in the bloody bucket. Never. And again to all of you. And the corruption.
Six times a week, here at the Star's Address, you'll find that the shortest distance between two smiles is the Amos and Andy Music Hall. For one thing, there's always a sparkling tune or two to give your spirits a lift. The guest list reads like a textbook in applied astronomy. And of course, right at the heart of all the lighthearted things that happen at the Music Hall are the one and only two, Amos and Andy. Tomorrow and every Monday through Saturday, on most of these same stations, listen for the Amos and Andy Music Hall. The
little man drove at a most fantastic rate of speed. I sat in silence atop the wagon seat, holding my hat down with one hand, while the other clutched the side for support. Our exit was punctuated by the princess hurling herself at my bottom side in magnificent rages, and I was thankful for the barrier of wood between us. In the bed of the wagon were numerous large crates full of cats of all sizes and colors. There seemed to be no one in pursuit, and after some minutes, the little man slowed the wagon, and without looking at me, he painfully lit a pipe. I presume we were now somewhere in the barren area between Wyoming Territory and the Dakotas.
Heralds. Heralds of the trade, me boy.
I would say.
Ah, you've done a grand thing, lad. The princess there is the start of a whole new race, she is. I had to have her.
What? You mean the princess belonged to Dan?
And what did you think, huh?
Then I help you steal the cat?
You merely laid down a blow he'll not be forgetting.
But you said grab the cat. I thought he belonged to you.
Don't let the technicalities bother you. It's a proper thing you've done.
I don't understand.
Well, I supplied Cheyenne with her cats in the first place, and I reserve the right to have access, as it were, to their progeny.
I see. And if Dan pursues us, then what?
Well, if me luck holds, he won't find us.
And if it doesn't?
Never bother trouble me, lad. Look at me, lad.
Yes?
You have a bit of England in you.
Why? Yes, it's not fun.
Oh, worse fears. What did you say your name was?
I didn't. It's Kendall. J.D. Kendall.
And I thought the fainted smile. My name is Kerrigan, Shane Kerrigan. And you might as well have it straight out. I'm an Irishman. What's your business, Kendall?
I write stories concerning the West for the London Times.
Oh, that is a good town, London. I was there once when I was a mere boy. Good town. Too bad it's so full of the English.
Mr. Kerrigan, I'd be indebted to you if you'd tell me something about yourself for my readers.
Oh, wait a minute. Will you stop your blather, pussy cat? Was on a bright summer morning, when the birds with the thing on its bough, that I first saw me Kathleen of warning, as she sat a milking her cow.
A miracle.
Now, what did you want to know about?
Yes, this cat business of yours. I was going to ask, how does it work?
Oh, very simple. I'm on my way to save Deadwood at this time.
Save Deadwood?
I have 62 cats, 62 furry creatures in the proper positions, and the town will be rid of its varmints in a matter of hours.
And you intend to sell your cats?
That I do. At $10 a head.
$10? People pay $10 for them?
Where have you been, Mr. Kendall? Do you not know that civilization rises or falls according to the number of cats in the towns and villages?
And I just never thought of it.
The great trade in Europe was due to the shortage of cats.
I suppose you're right.
Of course I am.
Well, when you get to Deadwood, just how do you plan to go about the sale of your cats?
I have a staunch friend there, dear Margaret. I shall make me headquarters with this lovely lady. Soon the word will spread that I have arrived with my cats.
And will this lady appreciate your coming in with all this baggage?
It'll take a bit of doing, me boy. I don't deny that. But Miss Margaret has had an eye for Jane Callaghan these many years. Before it is done, she'll embrace me and my cats.
Yes. Well, I'd rather like to ride along, if you don't mind.
Oh, she's welcome you are. Hey up there, little one. You've rested long enough.
Your horse. She seems to love her wood.
Yes, she does. Oh, it was on a bright summer morning. Oh, and the birds sweetly sang in his bow. Did I first saw me Kathleen? Uh-oh. That'll be Dan, the tenacious one. Fire, girl, fire! We'll give him a run for his gun.
I turned my feet, and sure enough, it was Dan on horseback, accompanied by another rider. Mr. Kerrigan clamped his jaw, and his pipe leaned forward, and the wagon flew across the rocky ground.
Is he there, Kendall? Can you still see the haven?
Yes! He's closer! Shane! You might as well stop!
Oh, are you dead? I wouldn't stop with the devil himself! Get him out there! Fire!
Then it happened. A rock, half as big as a horse, moved up in the road. Jane Kerrigan couldn't miss it.
Look out! We're going to hit!
Did you ever see so many cats in the air at one time?
Only one cat I'm looking for.
Oh, me heart. I've had it. This tiny heart can't take no more.
Are you... Are you all right, Mr. Kelly?
No, I'm dead and dying. The wagons have crushed my leg.
I came for my cat, you old goat. Where is he?
Kendall, how's me horse and cat?
The horse. Horse is all right, but the crates are broken. The cats are scattering.
You listen to me. I want that cat. She was the best mouser in Cheyenne.
Now, you see here. See here, Dan, whatever your name is. Oh. Can't you see this old gentleman is hurt? Now, give me a hand. We'll get the wagon off him.
You ought to do it, Dan. Your cat ain't worth killing, old fella.
I ain't helping nothing. It's a cat I come for, and I'm going
to
get.
And I say you're going to help me. Here.
No, no, Kendall. Let him go. It's me dying wish he'd take the cat. Dan, you can see they've all scattered to the winds. Find yours and take her.
I'm going to do just that. Come on, Jim. Just climb it before she gets lost.
Wait! I'll need help moving this bag.
No. I didn't ask. What about the princess?
Well, the wagon box is still closed.
Oh, good, good.
What about you?
Well, the kind of help I need, the likes of them can't give. Now, come on, give me a hand here.
All right, I'll try. Now, when I lift it, you try to pull yourself out.
Okay,
Ken. Now, I do it. Oh, help there.
Oh, Kendall, she's bent. Oh, my leg is bad.
Yeah. Let me help you.
Oh, may I be forgiven, an Englishman, keep it in. It's more important to get the cast back. Whew. Now, break out the tripe and liver. They can smell it for miles. Then while they're coming in, we can make our repairs and be off for Gatewood.
Whatever happened to, what's his name? You know who I mean. That hypertense newsman who reported every wild rumor he ever heard. Now, we don't know what happened to him, but we can tell you that reliable newsmen like Larry Lesueur, Lowell Thomas, and all of their colleagues at CBS News are still very much preferred by listeners everywhere. 5 nights a week, Larry Lesueur and Lowell Thomas broadcast the news on most of these same stations. Interestingly enough, their consistently accurate and carefully detailed reports provide much more excitement than cheap sensationalism ever could.
It was true. The tripe and liver could be smelled upwind, downwind, probably in Deadwood itself. The cats came streaming in. And with each group, I expected to see Dan and his friend, but we had seen the last of them. Mr. Kerrigan was considerably lamed by the accident, but managed to move about amazingly well. I made all the necessary repairs to the wagon and the crates, and by morning we were underway. We finally arrived at Deadwood, which had the look of all boom towns, a long, narrow street with wooden frame structures along the sides. The dwelling of Miss Margaret turned out to be a large saloon with upstairs lodging quarters. It was called simply Maggie's Place. You're certain this is it, Mr. Kerrigan?
Oh. Aye, this is it. You go tell Miss Margaret, Shane Kerrigan is sick and wounded and needs lodging.
All right.
Lively with you now.
Can I help you?
Why, yes, I believe you can.
I think I'd like to. My name's Charlene. Have I seen you here before?
No, I don't believe so. I'm looking for Miss Margaret.
Miss Margaret? Sure you are. Hey, Maggie.
Yeah?
There's a fellow here wants to see you.
Well, send him over.
Don't forget me. Charlene. Mr.
Kendall.
Kendall.
Yes.
That's Maggie over there. The big fat one at the end of the bar. I'll be around if you want to buy me a drink later.
All right, Charlene. Thank you.
Max, you can change to the bad whiskey now. Nobody will know the difference.
Well, hello, stranger. What can I do for you?
I'm looking for a lodging.
No chance. We've been full up for weeks. Ain't you heard about the strike at Gold Run Gulch?
No, I just arrived. No, this was for a friend of mine. He's outside. You know him, Mr. Chain Kerrigan.
Chain? Well, why didn't you say so? Charlie!
What?
Fix up the good room for a friend of mine. And hurry up!
Maggie almost cried at the sight of Chain cradled in my arms. as I carried him up to the room prepared for him. There, lying back on the bed, he lifted a hand feebly toward me.
Oh, Kendra, good lad. Would you be about bringing up me luggage?
Oh, the poor, poor man.
You mean you want all...
Yes, all of them. And don't forget the rations. It's most important, lad. Now go.
Why do you bother the poor, oily man with trivialities now? Bring up his baggage, as he says. There's a back way, and it won't bother no one.
Oh, Margaret, come to me, sir.
Yes, love. Now, what is it?
Are you sure I'm not imposing on you?
Well, now, what kind of a woman do you take me for?
Oh, Margaret, darling. It's worth the whole trip and trouble and the accident to my leg just to get back and look into your eyes.
Go to sleep, sweetheart. And you can have your friend Kendall right here with you.
Oh, no. It'll be rather crowded here. I can find a place.
How can it be crowded? Two men in a big room like this?
Well, maybe not. I just hate to,
That's the end of it right now. I'll have another bed set in for you.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Look at him, Mr. Kendall. Poor man has fallen asleep. And we stand here, John, in front of him. Come on.
Oh, before you go, darling, would you be sending up 4 fingers of your best whiskey for me?
Well, of course. I'll have Charlene bring it right away. You can see, Mr. Kendall, nobody understands Shane Kerrigan like I do. I guess he's told you, hasn't he? The reason he's come back to Deadwood is to marry me.
Nobody saw me staggering up the back steps with crate after crate of cats. As for Shane, he busied himself drinking the liquor provided for him and instructed me to release and feed the cats. Eventually it was over, and we finally got settled down, in a manner of speaking. But in the morning, the swarm had to be fed all over again. That's quite a job, isn't it?
It is a labor of love, my boy. Did Miss Margaret see you bringing our friends in last week?
No, she didn't, sir. But what do you plan to do about selling them now, crippled up the way you are?
I have a plan, Kendall, a wee bit of a plan. Shane Laws! It's Margaret with your breakfast. Shall I come in?
Oh, please do, darling. Well, did you sleep well?
Oh! What goes on here? Get out!
Oh! Margaret, you've lost control of yourself.
Oh, this is the way you fight me, Jane Carrigan. Well, you can get out too.
What?
I'll not have this kind of a mess.
Margaret, come to me, side love.
I'll come to your side. I'll take an axe to you.
But it's my business, love selling cats. I told you that when I was here before.
Yes, you told me. But I don't expect you to let him a place with them.
Possibly I could help in some manner.
You can, Mr. Kendall. You can open the back door for Shane Kerrigan and his cat.
Have you been told, lad, you're lovelier than ever when you're shouting like that?
Oh, get him out.
Margaret, now would you be allowing $620 to walk out the back way?
I don't care how much money you...
What? How much did you say?
62 cats. Not counting the princess, of course. I could never sell her. She's my breeding stock. 62 cats at $10 apiece. That's $620. Now, Mr. Kendall, a man with that much money could support himself and a loved one for a good long time now, could he not?
Why, yes. I suppose he could, Mr. Kelvin.
Margaret, sir, have you ever thought of marriage? A woman of your beauty and accomplishments.
Well, as a matter of fact, I... Shane, you're proposing to me, ain't you? I knew that's why you'd come back.
Now, when my leg heals and I'm able to get about and sell the cats, then I can make the plans closer to my heart.
Oh, Shane, I got an idea.
Oh, what is it, beauty?
I'll sell the cats for you.
No, you can't mean it. Now, how would you be doing that?
Why, they'll buy. They'll buy or else
who'll buy?
My clientele. I have a certain power here in Deadwood, as you know, Shane, and they'll buy from me.
If it wasn't for me, leg, I wouldn't let you do it.
Oh, don't worry about your leg. By tomorrow, you'll have $620, and I'll have the preacher come by in the afternoon. Now, what do you say to that, Shane?
One thing at a time. Now, what that? How would you be going about selling those?
That was the last I saw of Jane Kerrigan. I found a room for myself in town, lay on the bed for a moment, and, well, it was the next morning before I awoke. I rushed over to Maggie's place. Above her own sign, there was another one. It said, "Cat sailed. Get yours now." On the door of the saloon itself, there was another sign saying, "Closed." I knocked, and Charlene, the girl I had first met at Maggie's, came to the door.
Oh, hello, Miss Kendall. I'm so glad to see you this morning. But y'all better not come in.
What? Why? What happened?
Oh, come on. Let's walk down the street. About Mr. Kerrigan.
Has he died or something?
Worse. He's left.
Oh, well, then. That's good.
Oh, no, it ain't. He didn't wait for the wedding or say goodbye to Maggie or nothing. Just got his wagon and left.
What about his cats?
She sold them all last night. Gave him over $600. Why, you've never seen so many men buying cats in all your life.
How's she taking it?
Oh, all right. Every time she feels bad, she counts her money again.
Her money?
Sure. She sold those cats for $15 apiece. Made over $300 for herself.
What? Oh, my, that's marvelous. Charlene.
What?
You come on with me. I'll buy you that drink I promised you.
Why, Mr. Kendall.
Frontier Gentleman was produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Tonight's script was written by Tom Hanley and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Martha Wentworth, Charlotte Lawrence, Joseph Kearns, Barney Phillips, and Harry Bartell. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. Budstool speaking.
Copyright Golden Navy.